May we pray together as we enter this time of study. Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given us and this time that you've given us to be here, to gather, to worship you, to praise you, to, again, Lord, uplift your name higher than any other name. Lord, we uplift your name above every other name, Father, because it's you're so worthy. Your name speaks power, peace, presence into this world. Just at the mention of your name, situations change, lives are melted. Father, people bow before your name as we do this morning. We bow our hearts. We give you the honor and glory that you are due in this place, Lord. And Father, though we may not always be the best at it every day of our life, giving you that honor and glory you so deserve, use this word, Father, to help us. Use times like these, studies of your word, times where we are gathered around your word, whether it be together or alone. Use your word, Lord, to change our lives, to bless our lives, to help our lives, to bring us closer unto you. Thank you, Lord, for every blessing, but none more than the blessing of Jesus. And it's because of his love for us, what he has done for us on the cross and that resurrection that he has made possible for us into new life. The reason that we read this word, that we study it, and then we seek to live it out is all because of him. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to do things just a little bit differently this morning. I'd like for you to open up your bulletin, if you haven't already, to that handout that's in it, to your sermon handout. And there's a familiar song in that handout, as well as I'll know that the scriptures, most of them, with the exception of one, is in there. So definitely keep it out to follow along with the scriptures. But in particular, at this time, I want you to look at that song, and I want you to sing this song with me. You think y'all can do that? I see the eyes. You're like, come on, really? Really? Yeah, but sing that song with me. Y'all sing so well these hymns, and I know you know this song. So let's sing it together. I'm going to turn my microphone off because I want to hear y'all, and y'all don't need to hear me. So, you ready? It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Oh man, good deal, y'all. Y'all did good. Y'all sounded good. That's like singing a hymn, you know? But I think you're like me at this time of year. I am thankful for Thanksgiving. I'm thankful for everything that Thanksgiving means, but I am happy when it passes on by so that all the Scrooges and the Grinches out there will stop complaining about people like me who are putting up their tree and putting out their lights and decorations just a little bit too early, right? It's just too early. And you know good and well who you are. Yeah, you know. Yeah, I see some finger pointing and eyes shifting. You know exactly who you are in this room if you classify as a Scrooge and a Grinch. In fact, when my last roommate in college, we were roomed together for 3 years, 6 semesters. That's a long time to room with somebody, you know, in that sort of environment. And we really did. We have a great friendship. We just talked on the phone this past week. But the first fight that we ever had about anything, and there were lots of fights we probably should have had, and things that I did that he should have called me out on. And we never did fight except for this one first time. Kind of started the whole ball rolling. And it was over putting up the Christmas decorations. I wanted to put them up around Halloween, beginning of November. Okay, yeah, you're laughing. That is just, I'm just going to admit, I feel like I'm sinning because I have fallen behind. Last year this time, my tree was up on Halloween night. I didn't even put it up yet. I even thought about it. It's still sitting in the box on the shelf. But then I had that full, bubbly Christmas spirit, and I wanted to put the tree up, and I wanted to put some decorations out, and he said, no way. He said he would not allow any decorations to go up in his room. That's where the fight started. In his room until after Thanksgiving. And we went on and on about it for a while. And when I realized he wasn't backing down, I backed down. And just to spite him, though, for several weeks until after Thanksgiving was over, because there was about a whole month there that we just were kind of at odds about this, I would play Christmas music. I said, it's my right to play Christmas music. And I would play it on my phone, and I would play it on my side of the room, but when I would walk out to leave to go to class or whatnot, I would walk past his side of the room, and I'd pause it, and then I'd get back out in the hallway, and I'd start it back up again. So there wasn't any Christmas on his side of the room. Yeah, folks, but after Thanksgiving, and even him, he's one of the biggest Christmas nuts I know. He loves Christmas just as much as I, well, not maybe not as much as I do, but you get the picture. And after Thanksgiving, people like him and other people, your hearts just begin to melt. Everybody's heart begins to melt because we know that Christmas is upon us. And I was with my parents yesterday, and then Friday, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, going out driving, I began to realize that people are starting to get into the Christmas spirit. Because houses that were once bare on Thanksgiving Day, making that same drive a couple days later, you've got lights around the windows, you've got trees in the trees right there where you can see them as you peek in through the house, which really you're not supposed to do. I don't know if you know that or not. But when you got a pretty tree, it's hard not to look at it, right? Draws your attention. And then you see snowmen in the front lawns. You know, even the hardest of people, after Thanksgiving and Christmas is upon them, their hearts begin to melt. Because more radio stations have consented to playing all Christmas music until the end of the year. You got the stores that are all covered in Christmas goods. And all the movies. I don't know how you can't get in the Christmas spirit if you watch a Hallmark movie. You know what I'm talking about? Even the men folk are like, when your wife's watching one of those and you kind of sit down and start getting into it with them, right? My dad's that way. He doesn't want to watch a Christmas movie. But with mom's watching one, he sits down, he gets into it. You can see that he's not shedding a tear, but he's thinking about it, you know? And you know who you are. You can't help but be in the Christmas spirit whenever somebody has got these sort of things going on around us. And we love Christmas. It's looking a lot like Christmas even in this sanctuary, and even more so next week when the tree is up and the poinsettias are out. We have the lights, the decorations, the nativity scenes, all the programs and the movies, the cookies. Oh, the cookies, the Christmas cookies. I even like those ones that you get that are rolled up, right? You know what I'm talking about? And all you have to do is pull them apart and put them on the tray. And they got pictures of reindeer and trees and holly and mistletoe, all that stuff. I promise, all this has got a point. For one thing, I just want to tell you how much I love Christmas. Kind of gets you in the mood, too. But we have those cookies and the homemade candy. Who makes homemade candy anymore around here? Anybody? Man, there's very few. I want you to bring me some, okay? Because everybody I knew doesn't make homemade candy anymore. I'm holding you to it. I've seen you. You've admitted to it. I want some candy, all right? Oh, but we have all these things that just make Christmas special. And I couldn't, and I think you could agree that you couldn't imagine a year going by without Christmas. Could you imagine a year going by without even celebrating or thinking about Christmas? It's just a special time of year. I feel like sometimes I go all year long just to get to Christmas. Just because of what it means and how special it is to us. And we've been celebrating Christmas for so long that it's just totally ingrained in our culture. In fact, the first Christmas carol, I don't think you knew this, because I didn't know it, was sung in a Roman Catholic service in 129 A.D. The year 129, very first Christmas carol was sung in a Roman Catholic service. The tradition of the Christmas tree appeared about 1,000 years ago in Northern Europe. And the custom of sending Christmas cards was started in the United Kingdom in 1843. Church, we've been celebrating Christmas for a long time, not just in this country, but all over the world. In fact, the United States, we're kind of late getting into the game. We've just taken everybody else's, the best of everybody else's Christmas traditions and made them our own. And though Christmas traditions have come and gone and new traditions have been birthed, we've been celebrating Christmas almost as long as Christ has been departed in his physical state from this world. In fact, down through the years, we have been celebrating his birth for this very reason. We celebrate the first coming of Christ in hopeful expectation of the day that he's going to come again. That's the whole reason we celebrate Christmas, is because He came the first time so that He might come again. This passage is so familiar to us. In fact, I feel it right now. I get goosebumps when I read this passage. It's in your handout. Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. About that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night that the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect Him. Church, today we read this passage in eager expectation of Christ soon coming. Do you feel it soon? Do you really? I mean, I've talked to several of you. I know that you think it's soon. There are some that are pretty adamant that you think it might just be today, as bad as the shape as the world is in. And I have a feeling, too, that sometimes looking around at things that are going on, looking at other people's lives, looking at the world, and looking at my life, thinking, man, Christ has got to be coming soon. This world is just awful, full of evil and wrongdoing. But you know, I remember my grandmother talking about Christ coming, feeling like she was going to see it in her lifetime. And it's been almost 10 years that she's been gone, and we're still here. I remember her talking about her grandparents and even her parents talking about the fact that they felt that Jesus was going to come back soon. If you think about all the believers in your lineage and lifetime, think about all the ones who said that they thought Christ was coming back soon. And He is coming back soon. We just don't know the hour nor the day. But I think our definition of soon is different for each and every one of us. Because for some of you, it might be sooner for you than it would be for me. For me, it might be sooner than it might be for you. It might be sooner than the person who's even sitting next to you. Christ is coming again. He's either going to come back and get the church first, or He's going to come back and get you first. Church, we do not long for the ways of this world. We know that we are bound and determined and set a course for a better place. We read this passage, no matter how Christ may come, individually or corporately, the whole world, we read this passage in eager expectation of Christ soon coming. Today we read this passage reminding ourselves and others that Christ is coming again. It's not just me that He's coming for, but He's coming for the whole world. He's coming for the church. He's going to shift out the chaff from the wheat. He's coming again. And today we read this passage not knowing the hour nor the day, but we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that He is coming again. But church, this has not always been the case. People have not always been able to say that Christ is coming again. Because church, they were just looking for Christ to come the first time. We are so blessed because we can say that we are looking forward to Christ coming again. But there was a time when people were just looking forward to Him the very first time. Because as we celebrate with our trees and tinsels, in our garland, in our song, there were once people who had no conception of what our decorations meant and what they were linked to. There were people at one time who did not know the meaning of our songs that we sing at Christmas time. And the only conception they had in our celebrations and of our celebrations was the hope in the fulfillment of God's promise to bring an end to their suffering. All they had at one time was hope in the fulfillment of God's promise to bring an end to their suffering. The prophet Isaiah told the people of God who were in distress in the days of old that there would be an end to all of their sufferings when he said, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of all the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. And the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be used for fuel for the fire." We read that and you can tell. You can tell that something great is coming, can't you? You read that and that's quite a promise that everything essentially is going to change. It's going to be totally different from everything that you have ever experienced. But the question begs to be asked, how is this conquering going to come? What will cause the people to rejoice? What is going to bring an end to fighting and to war? And that's when Isaiah goes on to say, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." I'll pause and look at this passage. That last verse. Establishing and upholding David's throne with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. I think one of the things that our world is crying out for is justice and righteousness. How many times do you read the paper or watch the news or scroll through social media feeds and see things that just aren't just, that have no ounce of righteousness in them at all? On either side of the issue, no matter who it is or what it's being done or who it's being done to. Justice and righteousness. People looked at this passage and they were so excited about the fact that God was going to cause an end to all suffering, that he was going to bring an end to all pain. But church, what we have to realize is that as we look forward to the hope that we have in Christ's second coming, when this world will be totally restored, put back in its place, and put into its proper order, in the days before Christ, the days before us, people were simply looking forward to his first coming. We have so much hope in what Christ is yet to do. And they were looking forward to what he could do. Church, when we find ourselves in a low enough place in life, we find ourselves to be out of even our best efforts. Though we were once of great strength, and all our efforts have been exhausted, that's the time where we admit our human frailty, isn't it? We realize that we just weren't as good and talented, strong as what we really thought that we were from the start. And though we are capable of so much, we are incapable of much, much more. And people have been realizing this for a long time. Because in the days before Christ, the people of God realized this when they penned the words of this psalm. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth will speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb, and I will express my riddle on the harp. Why should I fear in the days of adversity, when the iniquity of my foes surrounds me, even those who trust in their wealth and boast in the abundance of their riches? Here's the catch. No man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever. Again, for the redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever. That he should live on eternally, that he should not undergo decay. Quite powerful and strong words, even harsh words to some extent. But church, this is the reality of the human condition. I think this is the reality that many of you and even myself have come to know, that even on our best day, we still do not measure up to the holy standards of God. That even on our best of days, we still do not measure up to the holy standards of God. As smart as we are, and as wise as we might think ourselves to be, God is still greater. As wonderful a Christmas you may be able to buy your loved ones out of your great wealth, you will never be able to buy, produce, purchase the hope that we have in Christ. There is nothing that you can do on your own to afford the hope that you have in Christ. Because the present of salvation is that very gift, given to us only by our God. That hope in Christ is that gift that only He can give those who are willing to receive it. But yet Christ was only a hope for people in days gone by. Today we hold fast to the words of Paul when he said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 19, "For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." This is our hope. We wait for God to reveal Himself to us and to this world that we might be with Him forever and ever. Amen. But at one time, in the days just before Jesus, in the days when they were waiting for Christ to be revealed, they were holding fast to that promise of God that we have read through the prophet Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given." And even after that promise was made, it was hundreds of years before Christ ever set foot onto the scene. Church, I lit the first candle, the purple candle, in this Advent wreath to symbolize the hope that we have in Jesus. To symbolize the hope that at one time people just yearned and longed for. That hope in Christ. Christ is that center candle. White purity. Burning even when the others are not. Church, we need to be thankful. Really. We need to be thankful that we are not the people of old. That we don't have to look forward to Christ. That we don't have to wait for Christ to make things better. Because today we have Jesus who is waiting on us to allow Him to make things better. At one point in time, there was only a promise that things would be better. That as we've come to know today, that there would be an end to sin and there would be an end to wrong in our lives as long as we let Jesus take hold of us. At one time, this was but a promise. Today, we don't wait on Him. He waits on us. And He's waiting on anyone who will believe. And even if you place your hope and trust in Him, He might be waiting on you today to let Him have control of your life, hoping in eager expectation that He can make things better for you. Something that people had only dreamed of has now come to pass, that they hoped in the promise of Christ. And now we place our hope in Christ. They hoped in the promise of Christ, and now we place our trust in Christ. And we place our hope and our trust in not only the fact that He has come, but in the knowledge that He is coming again. Church, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, no matter where you look, and even increasingly more so as the days go by leading up to December the 25th. As we have looked to hope this morning, as we have placed our hope in Christ, I hope that we, as this church, will celebrate Christmas for what it truly means. It doesn't need to just look like Christmas that even the people without Christ are celebrating. Because everybody loves Christmas. Everybody enjoys it. It has a lot to offer and brings so much to our land, to our community, and to our world. Church, I hope we will celebrate Christmas for what it truly means. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You, Lord, for bringing us Jesus, for giving us that gift so many years ago, that gift of salvation that is open to anyone who will accept it, that offer of grace and peace to enter life into our lives, if only we will accept You, accept Your Son. Lord, if we'll admit the state of our human frailty, and seek, Lord, to let You have control of our life. That we seek to follow in the footsteps of Your Son. You promised us, Lord, that if we place our hope in You, You will not fail us. Lord, You will not cause us to stumble or fall, but You will lead us to where it is that You would have us to be. And Lord, that's by Your side, forever and ever in all of eternity. Because You sent Christ not only to die, but You sent Him to rise again. That our sins might be covered under His blood, but yet that they might be covered forever. Lord, we seek Your righteousness and we seek Your grace. We seek Your mercy and Your justice. And we pray, Lord, that at this time we will not take any of that for granted. That, Lord, we will be a people who are thankful for the fact that we are not waiting on Christ to come the first time, but we're a people who are waiting on Him to come again. Lord, let us ever plant that thankfulness in our heart, that we might not forget just how special You feel that we are. That You would send Your Son, that You loved us enough, that You would send Him to die for us. Let us not forget that, Lord. Let us be thankful. And in hope, wait on Your Son to come again, to firmly set everything right, and to place us at Your side forever. Or we look forward to that in hopeful expectation. In His name we pray. Amen.